No.
Arshad Hazino, everybody. Parag Lamabat Bez Pasig Dalet. Okay, so we start off Hazino. Hazino, as you all know, is a big song. The way that the song is written is in two different blocks. There's one block on one side, one block on the other side, and all the words are written like that. Hazino Shalom Adaber, Vesishmal Arts and Refri, Yaroka Matsuzuchi, Tizal Katalim Rasi, Mikitri Maledesha, Kirvivi Malayesev. Each one is on different sides of one another, and the song goes all the way through. It is altogether, I believe, 41 psukim altogether, and then there are 52 psukim and Hazino altogether, but it's a really cool parsha to go all the way through. Now, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo is the fourth pasuk in the parsha. Hatsur, the rock, Tamim Pa'alo, everything he does is perfect. He called Rachav Mishpat because all of his ways are done with absolute judgment. El Amunah Ve'in Avel, God is trustworthy. There is nothing wrong with him. Tzadik Yashar Hu, he is righteous and straight in everything he does. It's sort of like an introduction, and that's the clear idea. It's sort of like this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and even though it sometimes seems to us to not make any sense, it's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind this. Everything's going to work out well. So the Ramban says that this pasuk refers to Hashem's midah called Midas Hadin, what we call Elokim of Midas Hadin, that midah of Mishpat. That's what it refers to over here. At times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a father that has to punish his kid once in a while to help him realize his failures and mistakes. A bad father will allow the kid to continue to fail. A good father tells the kid, this is what you got to do. Sometimes, you got to smack the kid. And I hate to put it that way, and you never do it in a normal situation, but if the kid's running in the street, and if you don't do anything, then the kid's going to run in the street again. Stop him from running in the street. For that, you can smack a kid. That's the idea where you can smack a kid. You never do it out of anger. You never do it when you're in a bad mood. You do it when you feel this is the right thing to do at this moment. That's the idea, says the Ramban. You help him see his mistakes. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to do with all the punishments in the world. Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. Everything he does is with a good reason and perfection. Rashi tells us that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the strength to do whatever he wants, he says, Tzur, that's what it means by Iraq. He punishes people in such a way that it seems to be bedin every time, Darko Mishpat, Darko Mishpat, and gives the Tzadikim their reward in the next world, even though it's delayed, that El Emunah, God can be trusted to reward you rightly, and they're Rishayim the reward in this world, that's what it means by Ein Avel. He's not going to take away from the Rishayim, even though they're not going to get in the next world. Then every single person at the end of days is going to admit that that was the right thing. It's going to be unbelievably crazy. You're going to go up to Shemayim, and you're going to, instead of saying like we all think, like, God, why did you do this to me? God, I was so much better than that. God, why did you do that? It's all, you're going to go up there, you're going to see it, you're going to be like, yep. Yeah, I totally agree. It's going to be more than that. Yeah, exactly. You're going to say, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you really helped me out a little bit. One could say that the individual being punished admits his wrongdoing and realizes this is the best thing for him. All this is based on the Gemara Tainis Yud Aleph of what happens. Yes?
I learned before that if you don't work on yourself, let's say a person dies one day or a very jealous person, that's going to stay with them forever. So if they are a very stubborn person, even that, it's not going to hold. As in, they're still going to admit that God is right with everything?
Yeah, it's impossible. Because once you're looking at a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you can be as stubborn as you wish. When a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives that look to you, you might have seen that look from me, okay? Because I'm a microcosm of God to you. But but in that sense, no, do not put that on the thing. But in any which way, there's a way that you just have a look. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to give you that look, you're going to be like, I'm out. Like, there's nothing he can do. No matter how stubborn you are, there's no way you're going to be able to get around it. The Rashbam says, this is all part of the introduction. It's a way of understanding the punishments that follow in Parshas Hazino. Parshas Hazino seems to be like it's all punishing the Jews and telling them what they're doing wrong. We have to look at ourselves and we say, God is right. And that's what we're doing over here. We're going through this and saying, Atzur Tamim Pa'alo, we're almost convincing ourselves this is what needs to be because we know that it's going to be bad for us, that there are some bad things that have happened to us over the last thousands of years in order to show what it is. The Dasakanim, the Russian, the Fiskuni says, and it's obvious. This is how the world still makes sense. We see the Rishayim getting what they have. We see the Tzaddikim not getting what they need to get. We see the Jews versus the other nations of the world, and we realize this has to be for a purpose. There must be a reason behind it. What is that reason? What are we gaining from this? righteous. That's the idea behind it, says these Rishonim over there. And maybe the Tzaddik himself wants this to be, says the Ksav Sofer. The Tzaddik will ask to be rewarded or punished in this way. Why? Because he wants to get Olam Haba. He understands what Olam Haba is all about. He says to himself, I'd rather get it here. I'd rather get that punishment and be rewarded in the next world. I'm admitting this is what I want over here. An example would be the Netzutzei Shimshon. Shimshon Astropolia, who you've heard me use before. But Shimshon Astropolia was famous for willing to die by the hands of the Cossacks to be a kapara for the rest of the nation. My Mashkiach always used to tell this to me, if anybody knows Robert Brazil from Beis Yisrael, used to say, would you want the Yisurin of Rav Nachman Tzvi Finkel? If to get those Yisurin, you would end up being the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. Would you take one because of the other? What would you be willing to do? How would you want to? And that's the idea, that the tzaddik will be willing to be punished, so to speak, in this way, knowing that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for him. What's going on?
Didn't the Gemara say we're not supposed to ask for Yisurin?
No, for sure not. And we say, Lo Yidei Yisurin Rayim. We just said that all over Yom Kippur, right before we finished Elokai and Yom Kippur, right? When we said, right, Elokai, right before Elokai Nitzor. What is it? Ad Shalona Tzarki Eni Kedai. It says, Lo Yidei Yisurim, we don't want Yisurim, but the fact is, if I'm going to be punished, let it be here rather than there. That's the concept. What's that? Yisurim Rayim and Yisurim? Yes. For example, like, I stubbed my toe. That's Yisurim, right? If I break my toe, that's Yisurim Rayim. There's a difference between the two, and that could be really, really bad. Yeah, it did. Yeah. So, either way, there's a reason why you're called Crip. So, yeah, 100%. So, that's the idea right over there, that the concept over there. I don't know if people remember Rav Tversky from Taurus Moshe, who unfortunately was killed by a terrorist in Eretz Yisrael when he was davening. They said about him afterward that he had always wished that he could die al Kiddush Hashem while wearing talus and tefillin. In a way, again, we're not going into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, and we're not saying that a person should ever wish this upon themselves, but Rav Tversky was an unbelievable tzaddik, and one of the gedolim of the generation. So to say that this is what he wanted, this is not something to emulate, this is something to try to understand, rather than try to emulate. But the concept is that what he said was, and what he wanted, was, I want to die in a certain way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him that request. In a way, we look at it and we say, well, what's happened with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow something like that to happen? Tzadik v'yashar hu, that's the concept over here. The Ben Ish Chai in Drashos, in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara says, this pasuk was said, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin, anybody remember him? You said him yesterday. Everybody said it. He was one of the Atzarugi Malkus. How did he die?
He died through...
No, nope. That was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Not the face.
No, that was Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yisrael Kohen. And there was fire and flames all around.
Fire and flames. They threw him inside. What happened was, and it was a sad situation, an unbelievably sad situation, but what happened was exactly that. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin, his wife and his daughter were all captured by the government. The Gemara goes through in Avodah Zarah why it happened. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin used to teach the Shemos of Hashem and used certain Shemos in a certain way, as his 72-letter name or whatever it was, but that's what he used to do. And because of that, his wife knew about it and didn't protest, and they were teaching people that shouldn't have known that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because that had happened with Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin, he was burned alive with the Sefer Torah. His wife was killed, and his daughter, because of one act that she might have done which wasn't right, she herself was taken by the government to be put in a house of Zonos. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin's other daughter was married to Reb Meir. Reb Meir, the whole story there, how he got her out of the Beis HaZonos, how he got her out from such a place. But the concept is right over there. When they were dying, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradin got up and he said this pasuk, Katsur Tamim Palo Ki Chol Dorach HaMishpat. And his wife said, Elamun Ave'inav El Tzadik V'yashar Hu. That's what his wife ended up saying at the end of the whole thing, because they understood that this is what's going to be. The Ben Ish Chaim Drasha says another shot. Quite often, when we see a great tzaddik who's suffering terribly, it's not because of what he did. It's because of his previous Gilgul. And only the Ben Ish Chai can say something like, actually, anybody smarty can say something like this, but especially the Ben Ish Chai. It's because of what he did in his previous Gilgul. An example of this would be Eov. The reason why Eov underwent so much suffering, even though he didn't deserve it, from what he had in this world. This is part of what Eliyahu ben Barkael was trying to tell him. Part of the suffering that he went through was exactly for this. Why did he suffer? Because originally he was Terach. the father of Avram. Terach, the father of Avram. When Terach did all those terrible things to the Bodhi Zara, he needed to come back and be Eov to get that punishment. They both died at the age of 210. There's a couple other similarities that they give as to how Eov is connected to Terach in some way, shape, or form. And that's, again, Tzadik V'Yashar, because everything is done to Mishpat because of what you may have done in your previous Gilgal. That's why this is happening now.
If you don't, I mean, if you're, no one's perfect. Let's just, the guy was perfect.
I'm pretty good.
Now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So just because your previous Gilgal did something wrong, you're going to get punished for it?
Yes. It's because you're built into this world, and part of your challenge is to be what that Gilgal was. So in some way, shape, or form, even though you've done so well with yourself, you fixed yourself, you brought yourself to a different level, it doesn't matter, because that's why you're here. You're here to fix that up. What's up?
The only reason why you're a Gilgal is because the person didn't accomplish what he was
supposed to. When we're all 40, we'll be able to detail this, but I'm still 37. Oh man, I'm 37. So soon enough, we'll be able to go through this, but we're not going into reasons for Gilgulim right now. Depends. What? All of us.
All of us.
Yeah. In a way. Targum Yonasan understands this passage to mean that the day can be split up into four different parts. And this is really a Gemara and a Bodhisattva as well. Hashem learns Torah in the first quarter of the day. He judges in the second quarter of the day. He makes Shiduchim and Zivugim in the third quarter of the day. And the fourth quarter he brings down Shefa and Parnassah. That's the idea. Maybe this can be understood from the fact that the passage can be broken up. Tzortzamim Palo, he called Racham Mishpat, Element of Enavel, Tzadik. That since it could be split up into four different ways, there are four different parts of the day itself. Regardless, the second part of the day is relegated to Din in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make everything run smoothly, showing you how important it is to be able to go through. But on the other hand, the Kli HaKadosh understands this passage to mean we've run out of excuses. Sometimes you might think to yourself, well, God made me this way. You know, really, it's not my fault. I'm just so good looking, and I have so much money, and I have so many things that I want to do. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that I end up sinning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want me to do? If you had my body, then you would know what I'm talking about. And because of that, it's your fault for setting me up this way, for putting me with this set of circumstances, with all the bad mitos that I have. That's the reason why. And this is the idea. Hatzor Tamim Palo. What he made is perfect. What he made within you is the ability to overcome every single bad mita that you have and every avera that you've ever done. He has the ability to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not start us off on a bad foot, which is what we think. Instead, he created us right in the right direction to succeed in our own way. And if we didn't, then it's clear that it's ours. And that's why the next pasuk is Shiches Lo, is the destruction God's Lo. No, Bonav Mumal. It's his children that are doing the wrong thing. That's the very next pasuk, says the Kli HaKadosh. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah, also, yeah. That our mistakes are ours and ours alone, that God did not blame us.
Mistakes, always blame on yourself. It's the good things that you shouldn't blame on God.
I'm saying mistakes, it's not like God doesn't know the end result of what
should blame on God. I said that wrong. Yeah.
So he knows that every action.
We're not going into the Bethir aspect of. Consider it like, and I know you're really into video games, so I'm going to put it as a video game. The video game knows every single possibility of every step you're going to take in the game, and has algorithms to figure out all of the different results of every move that you'll ever make. That algorithm is there, but the actual decision making is yours.
I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things, right? God has a plan for the end of days.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like a song.
And but there's Bechira.
Right, everything's being sung out. But even our Bechira, everything that we're going to do.
No.
Goes into it.
Of course it goes into it, but it's being re-algorithmed every second where we make those choices. And again, billions and trillions of times over, because everyone's making very different decisions at every second of the day. So yes, it's all being redecided, refigured, reconfigured in some way, shape, or form. That's the concept over here. The Nashi Law says it's very common for people to blame the bad things that they do on God, while attributing all the good things that happen to themselves. They end up saying, yeah, I got that. I did that. But, oh man, I can't believe that happened. You know what happened to me today, earlier today? I went to an ATM machine. Guess what I found there? Someone's ATM card. why you would leave your ATM card in an ATM machine when you can't take out your cash without taking out your card first is an absolute wonder to me. The cash, you know, I think they were only depositing because there was no cash there. I took out the card and immediately ran into the bank and went inside. Now, there's two ways to react when a person leaves their card inside and what ends up happening, right? Not me, because obviously you're going to return it. That's without a question, right? But the reaction that somebody else would have on there. Obviously, if it was me, you know, you could have a couple reactions. A couple reactions would be, let's see if I can guess the number. I only have 9,999 tries. Let's see what we can go. And it's probably 1111. That's the obvious one, right? And you keep going from there. But the reaction of the person who forgot it is they look in their wallet later on today or whatever it is, and they're just like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Oh God, why did you let this happen to me? It's that's the automatic reaction. When something good happens to you, it's like, oh, I did it. I was the one who got it. Says Mashalok, we got to start going the opposite way. Everything bad that happens to you is because of something that you did. Every good thing that happens to you is because it's directly given to you from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept behind it. Nothing bad stems from him. It comes from the ability that people have to make bad decisions. That's the idea. The Malbim understands it going all the way back to Adam Rishon. Instead of being in you, it goes all the way back to Adam Rishon. Quite often you'll hear people say, if only God would have made the world in a better way. If only God would have made the world without sin. If God would have made a perfect world. And guess what? He did. He made that world. And Adam Rishon decided that he didn't want it. The world was made perfect without sin, without even an ability to sin. And a snake on the outside convinced Adam that it would be better for him to be able to sin. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu sat there and made the world, he understood that it would be unfair to put man in the situation that we're in. So he created us perfectly. Hatsur tamim pa'alo. He created us in a perfect way. But shiches lo, when there was destruction, when sin was brought into the world, lo, it wasn't God's. Bun of Mumon. It's our choice and we had it. And don't say, well, if I was there, I would have changed it. Even when we did fix it up again by the Egel Azov, we messed it up again. Well, we fixed it up again, I'm sorry, by Har Sinai. We messed it up again by the Egel Azov. By us making that decision of the Egel Azov, we brought death back. Even though we banished death from the world, so to speak, with Har Sinai. The ability for us to have Tchias Amesim constantly. We lost that by the Egel Azov. And that's our decision that we keep making time after time after time again. It's not something to blame on God. Something to blame on ourselves. Ben, what were you going to say?
Well, see, but it goes up. Nothing was internal at that point already.
No, that's the whole point. By Har Sinai, again, it was from the outside, and Chazal amemrames to it, and you know this. Chazal showed Moshe Rabbeinu as a dead man from the outside. There was nothing on the inside convincing them to do it. It was on the outside they were seeing Moshe Rabbeinu convincing themselves that something's wrong. That's exactly what it was. It was not them, but it's a great call. That's the idea. Josh.
I don't understand if they banished that from the world, how could they be convinced that Moshe was dead?
They knew that there's something wrong. They got it away from themselves, and there was something wrong. And now that Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, it's clear that something is off. But that's exactly what the Satan was trying to do. Make them think that there was death in the world, and they just didn't understand it. They thought they were done with death. They thought they were done with... Listen, according to Chazal, they didn't have to go to the bathroom, right? Even when they ate the slug or whatever, the mum, they didn't have to go to the bathroom anyway, but they didn't have to go to the bathroom right now. They didn't have Hilchos Nida. And they didn't have death. For 40 days, there was perfection in all three areas.
After Har Sinai, or?
By Har Sinai, so until the Egel Azov.
You have to separate before Har Sinai because of that?
That's because of the Zara, and that was beforehand, obviously.
Oh, beforehand.
Right? So there we go. Now, why is he called a rock? And this is something that I think we should all know. There are many names that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we said it, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Lechanu, Nerech, Apayim, Baruch HaTzvemes, and we know him as Elokim, as Tzvakos, as Shakai. We see these words all over the place, but here it's Sur. What does Sur mean? How does that represent a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And what do we mean when we say it? There are a few times where you say the word Sur. Does anybody know anywhere? Where do you say the word Sur? Sur? Sur Mishalo Achalnu. Right, obviously when we sing on Friday night.
Sur
Ma'o Sur Yeshua Zi. What were you going to say? Sur Tamipolo, which is our Pasuk, Shkach, yeah. Sur Chayenu. Okay, but guys, there's an obvious one.
Sur in Modem Anachua.
Yes.
We're in
Israel. You might as well just go right before Shimon Atzeret. Sur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezrat Yisrael. We say Sur all the time. What does the word Sur mean? Literally, Sur is a rock. Why is God known as a rock? So we're going to give a couple different answers here. The Ibn Ezra says it's a rock because a rock lasts forever, and so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasts forever. That's the idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be forever. Nothing we do will be able to hurt or affect God in any which way. Other parts of the ground may be able to be moved and affected, but the rock remains in place. It stays there no matter what we do, and that's the concept of Tzur. Tzur is nothing can happen to it, so to speak. Yes? Tzur in an Evan? A Tzur is a harder rock, more like a flint than it is a normal rock.
It's not true. I mean, rocks get...
Because obviously we can go ahead and ship off, right?
That's the water.
The normal erodes. That's a good call. That is a good call. Ibn Ezra didn't talk about, I was going to think because of the chipping, that a person can always be a rock climber, like chipping off a rock and it can cause things to happen. Very good call. I don't have an answer to that. Yeah, the concept is that the rock stands for something that's going to last for a very, very long time. Maybe the fact that erosion will eventually take away a rock is not enough to take away from this.
That's God doing that. We're not touching that.
Yeah, it could be that as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing his rock to go down. But the point is that what? As an anchor. Yeah, something like that. The literal translation of Tzur is a rock. So that's how we'd have to refer to it in such a way in which it says that's going to be that idea. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says it means strength, to be strong, right? That Hashem is the pillar of the earth. I think what is it? Chevy that's like a rock? Is that the old, you know what I'm talking about? The old commercial?
Yeah.
Like a rock? Right? That's the idea. That's the idea. The amazing thing is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is strong and nonetheless allows people to make their own decisions that are dumb. You can make a terrible decision and do something which a Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly doesn't want you to do. That's what it means by a Tzur. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is a rock that allows you to decide what you want to do. He's not going to decide it for you. That's the concept of Tamim Ba'alo. He allows everything to happen the way that you want it to happen. The Ruach Haim adds, you're going to see unfair things in this world. We have to accept it as a part of life, as we said. The idea is he is the strong one who knows best. So we've got those three translations which really go together. He's a rock. He is strong. He is the one who has the strength to do things that other people don't necessarily understand or agree with, etc. The Sifri, however, takes the word Sur and turns it into the word Sire. Sire is a painter. Sadi Yud Yud Reish is a painter. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a true sculptor. The way that it's described in Brachos, the way it's described in Brachos and Daf Yud, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Mitzayer like no other Tzayer. Normally, I don't know, with 3D printing, this kind of gets off a little bit. When you make a painting, you can't make the painting in 3D. You can make it in two-dimensional, but it's impossible for you to paint in 3D. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can paint in 3D. That's the concept behind it. A fourth dimensional, maybe you want to say a fifth dimensional being beyond time, can create a three-dimensional object. A three-dimensional object like ourselves can only make a two-dimensional object. In some way, shape, or form, you can sculpt a little bit bigger and put things inside, etc. But everything you're doing is two-dimensional, nothing more than that. That's the concept that works over here. And that the idea is the complexities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, the human mind, the eye, the fact, Mother Nature, the way nature works, these ideas are so unbelievably complex we can't even imagine it. So remember, again, we've talked about this before. Your phone, how many megapixels does it have? Yeah, just take a guess. Okay. 16, right? Some of them, the better cameras will have 24, 36, 40. There's one that's supposed to have like an 150 megapixel camera to be able to go through. You have billions of megapixels in your eyes. Billions. And they keep reproducing because they keep dying and reproducing. And they get more and more and more. It's unbelievable how many megapixels that you're able to see things and then translate them in your brain, even though technically, as you all know, if you look inside a spoon, right, not these guys, in a regular metal spoon, you'll see everything upside down. Your eyes are created in such a way that should see things upside down. And instead, your brain flips it all around and makes you see everything right side up. Or at least you think it is. But everything is the other way from what you're actually seeing. The Sifri understands gravity, magnetic forces, the way the entire universe works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzayer that's never going to be able to be compared to. There is nothing we can do to fully compare ourselves to the amount of power and what we created. Sure, can we make great things? Yes. Did you know there is no such thing as an absolute circle in nature?
Yeah.
No such thing. It doesn't exist. There is no absolute circle. We can create a circle, but there is no absolute circle. The earth is not really a circle. It's more of an egg shape. Right? It's a little bit less, a little oblong than it is anything else. I'm sorry? Absolute square. Right angles in the world are extremely hard to come by, and it is almost nil to find a right angle. But a square doesn't exist. Seems that we can create that. That's amazing, right? But we're taking from something else. It's like somebody wants to say, who's a greater inventor? The inventor of, let's just say, a computer or Benjamin Franklin? It's a question. But Benjamin Franklin came up with all the concepts to eventually lead to everything else. So who's a better inventor? It's an amazing thing. So Emmanuel Frein says, when a painter creates a beautiful picture, other painters are critical of his work. Some say he shaded it a little too dark. Others say maybe he needed a few more colors. The painter only cares about what the experts say. If a random guy goes up and he's like, I don't like this picture, the painter is going to look at that. I don't want to make fun of the South, but that Southerner, right? He's going to look at him and be like, dude, you don't know what you're looking at. You have no idea what you're seeing. You don't know my art. You don't know my style. You have no idea what you're looking at. And you think you're good enough to be able to critique what I'm saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the perfect painter that cannot be critiqued. When you go look at the world and you say, well, I have a problem with this and I have a problem with that, he looks at you and he's like, you're a nobody. You have no idea what you're talking about. You can't critique my painting, not until you're a painter. That's what it means by Hashem is a tsur. He is a tsire, the ultimate perfect, imperfection when it comes to painting. He has the ability to say things that aren't there. Now that's our second shot, that he is a tsire, and that's what tsur means, as not a rock in strength, but a painter. Our third shot comes from the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. This says a brilliant answer. He says tsur comes from the word tsror, to be tied up, to be connected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate connector, where everything in the world, every little thing in the world is interconnected to one another. Every piece of dirt, every little bit of water, every person is interconnected to one another. You might not think so, but it's true. If you shop at Walmart, you literally are spanning the globe with the amount of people that are involved trying to get you the thing that you just bought there. Because think about it. You have to have an entire country in order to have a Walmart. You have to have countries to have a Walmart. All these things are there. Every single human being in some way or another is connected with one another. That's what it means by tsur. He is the tsur, tying everyone together, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the source of everything together, making everything happen. That's the third idea of what tsur means. The Netziv, I'll be honest with you, I'm not positive I understand what the Netziv is talking about. I'm not sure I'm understanding what he's writing in Hebrew. I think what he's saying is that God is the knower of all things, that he understands our thoughts. He is the only one, no malachim can understand our thoughts, and no person can understand our thoughts. He is the only one that can therefore judge us fairly and judge us in the right way, because since he understands our thoughts, see, if a judge, human judge, looks at a person, he doesn't know if he means it, if he didn't mean it, what he was thinking at the time, whether there was something else going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on with you. He understands you better than anything else. This is the idea. You hate being judged. You hate it when other people judge you. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You don't know me. You don't know me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only person, something, that knows you. There's nothing else. This is not being judged by another guy who has no idea where you came from. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's you judging yourself with a tremendous amount of mercy, a tremendous amount of rachman, understanding where you came from, etc. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
The connection to tsur, though.
I'm not positive. The way I understood it is it's still connected to strength, but somehow he said that he was the knower of all things, but I'm missing the word. I don't know. That word I was missing, and he didn't give another word for it. So my assumption is this is what he means, but I'm not positive what it is. The Tzar Shlomo says tsur is from the Lashon of tsura. Tsura. Tsura is someone who is a bal tsura, is somebody who's on the level. Somebody who has never messed up his bris with Hashem by acting illicitly or being motzi zera levatola, he calls it. That person has a special koach to bring great things down from the heavens. That person, and it's hinted to by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu never was motzi zera levatola, even though years old. 77 years old when he saw the dream with the ladders and the malachim going up and down. Yaakov Avinu, who wasn't Motzi Zera Levatala, who waited to be with Leah to have his first drop of Zera, he was able to bring down the Shefa from Shemayim by bringing up Kedusha. He was able to bring down that Kedusha from there. It says it's for Shlomo. This is the idea of Tzur. Tzur is the ability of Tzura, a perfection of the body, to be able to make yourself better and better and better. That's the idea. I'm sorry? Why couldn't Og do it? Okay, according to the Rav Tzedakah Cohen, which is a massive chiddush, that Og never was Motzi Zera Levatala, right? According to that chiddush, then yes, that's a good question. Og probably also had a power that other people didn't have. But that's a Rav Tzedakah Cohen, and it's not even a medrash. You're dealing with an aphorim. So because of that, I don't think I need to darshan it.
One of the things that happened is it becomes
like... Og?
Not Og. Yeah, Og.
Shemchazai.
Oh.
That's why, because Shemchaz was the father of Og, and Shemchaz was the father of Sichon, and Sichon was the child that was born from there. Now, I will tell you, there is one medrash, the medrash Yalkut Teimani, that says that Og slept with Ham's wife on the Teva, even though he was outside of the Teva. I have no idea what that means, but there is one medrash that way. If you're referring to that, that is amazing that you remember that, because I think I said it like 9 years ago. The fact that you remember that is absolutely amazing. If you just made it up in your head, still, then you're a sick man. No, that isn't. I'm sorry? Different story. There's no riot that he didn't, that he wasn't Muslim. No, it's not a riot. No, the Columbus. Yeah, there's a possibility, but there's not a riot. Not a riot. The Gro in Divrei Hayomim, in Perek Tes Zayin, I'm sorry, Pasuk Chet, says that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch will make us be punished in different ways to get us out of something. For example, if you're supposed to lose a lot of money, then what will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure you win the lottery, and you'll be all happy. You'll win $50,000. You'll be like, not, you know, the full lottery, but like a lottery. You'll win $50,000, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, this is great. And then you'll lose $45,000. That way, right, even though it's a tremendous pain, but you're going to lose the $45,000 anyway. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that you win something so you don't actually lose. That's the idea behind it. If a person has to show him is supposed to die, ani chosuv kemes, a poor person is like a dead person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that a person becomes poor in order to make sure that it happens in the right way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always constantly cheshbening, says the Gra, how to punish this person in the best way so that he won't be affected badly by it. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, he tells parents this all the time, parents that come to him and say, my child had an accident, my child was the perfect kid in yeshiva, everything was good with him, but now, chas v'shalom, he has yenem machla, he has cancer. Or, chas v'shalom, he got into an accident, his leg is now shattered. And now, what's going to be with him? Now, everything up until now, you know, especially in Eretz Yisrael, shiduchim are petty. When it comes to things like this, he's not going to get the shidduch that we wanted for our child. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to say for him? So, the Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein tells them all the time, maybe there's a special girl that's out there for your child, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that if your son didn't have this issue, for whatever reason, you never would have allowed him to be set up with this girl. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs your son to be married to this girl. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did something to the child so that he marries this girl and it will be better for him for the rest of his life. He has to go through a little bit of pain now in order for that to happen. He tells it to them all the time. Now, there are stories that Yitzchak tells of parents coming back to him and saying, you're right, and all of those. You never get the stories of, you're wrong, those you don't hear. So that I can't tell you for sure. But the fact is, we all know it. There are certain situations where you say to yourself, well, I'm not going to be set up with the right person. I'm not going to have that happen to me. And you realize, sometimes that Kadosh Baruch Hu has to just throw you in somewhere. Something has to happen in order for it to be done the right way. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was quoted by the Chafetz Chaim. This is a famous Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that his judgments are all encompassing. If a judge takes you to task and he says, you're chayiv, right? You stole something, you're going to jail for 10 years. The judge is not taking into account your wife. He's not taking into account your children. He's not taking into account your parents. Your kids are growing up without a father. Your wife is growing up without a husband. She's going to be poor. She's going to have to take money from the Chesed Fund. Well, the Chesed Fund now needs to raise more money for that wife, because how else are they going to pay for it? That has to happen now. Somebody's going to have to make that bar mitzvah. Who's paying for that kid's bar mitzvah? What if the kids are marriageable age and somebody has to marry them off? What's going to happen then? See, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is trying to say, you might think to yourself, and a judge will say, well, this guy needs to go to jail for 10 years, but you realize that affects everybody else. What about the guy's friends? They don't have a friend anymore. Somebody's not getting Nishloach Manos because this guy's in jail. Somebody's not going to be able to be at a funeral. Instead of there being 10 people, 9 people at a funeral, instead of people 10, there's 9 now. Maybe this guy was part of the Chevra Kedisha. Maybe this guy was on a baseball team. And the baseball team now loses the championship because this guy isn't on it. Everyone is affected by it. Everyone. All because of one silly little thing. Because the judge has no idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, judge judgment. And here's what Yisrael Salanter says. Atzur Tamim Palo, says the Chofetz Chaim, this is how it's understood. Atzur Tamim Palo, everything he does is just. Everything, which means if a person passes away, it's not that guy alone that was chayiv to pass away. It was everybody else with him. It was the children who didn't deserve to have a father anymore. The wife who no longer deserved to have a husband. The friends who no longer deserved to have a friend. And if for any reason, the wife deserves to have a husband, then the person won't die. That person is not going to die because her judgment is not to lose a father, it's not to lose her husband. That's the concept. The idea is crazy. And the Chofetz Chaim goes on. Somebody calls him. Now, before I say this, I don't want a single person here paskening this lahalacha. Okay? Rav Moshe already has a tshuva on this. I'm just telling you the concept within bitachon. And it's something that I don't understand and I don't hold of. I don't ascribe to. But I hear the concept and it's something that I guess eventually maybe we can build our way up to. It's just not for now. He says, the Chofetz Chaim says, someone asked him if you should get life insurance. And the question was, should I get life insurance? My family will now be taken care of if Chas V'Shalom I pass away. Right? Should I get life insurance? Said the Chofetz Chaim, it's possible that you are chayiv to die already. And the only reason why you're not dead is because your wife doesn't deserve to have hardships in Parnassah. So as long as you're alive, right, as long as your wife needs you, you stay alive. Okay? But if you get insurance, what's going to happen? You die, and your wife is going to be taken care of anyway. The one thing that was holding you down to this earth is now gone. That's what he said to him. Now, I'm not paskening la halacha, and I have life insurance, I can tell you. I have two policies. Like, I'm against the Chofetz Chaim in two things. I understand that completely. But nonetheless, the concept, just think of the concept. Hatzur Tamim Palo, everything is taken into account. Every little bit is taken into account. Yes, this guy and that guy and that person, everything. Everything has to be taken in, because when you look at these things, not always do we fully understand what a Kaddish Baruch Hu is doing, but it's a concept of a full din in Shemayim that needs to be done. Alright, we don't have that much time, so we're going to say a couple over here. Our judgments, we look at something. It's like a guy, a muscle, that a guy goes into a shul for the first time, and he sees the gabbai going all over the shul, gives this guy an aliyah, that guy an aliyah, that guy over there, this guy over here, gabbai, the hagba over here. The guy goes up to him after, and he's like, listen, let me make your job easier, okay? 1 week, take everybody at this table and give them all aliyahs. Next week, give everybody here aliyahs. The third week, you give everybody there. That way, you'll go through the whole show and everything works out well. The guy says, what, are you crazy? Obviously, first of all, not everybody shows up every week. Second of all, this guy is your side. This guy had a bar mitzvah. This guy had something else that happened. Right? You can't do that. If you knew the whole story, then you'd be able to figure it out. But you don't know the whole story. So you can't come into show and tell me how to be a gabbai. And then he slaps him in the face, obviously, right? That's the usual ending to a story like that. That's how it should end, right? But he tells him, you don't like the slap. Yeah, but not for that reason. By the way, but that's the concept behind it. Alinu Shabbat speaks about it a little bit more, but we don't have time for that for right now. There's another thing in Bava Kama that's mentioned. We're going to have to skip over to page 4 over here. So let's skip over toward the very, very end. The Miamluwez says this whole line of that Sur Tamim Palo, everything was talking about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Just Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody else involved. He says, he knew he wasn't going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to Eretz Yisrael. So he did Siduk Hadin for himself. And this line, we should never know of this, but when a person passes away, this is Siduk Hadin. These are the lines that you say. When a person, a relative of yours passes away, you get up And you say this, Hatsur Tomim Paloki Holdura Hamishpat. You quote this pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying Tzidek Hadin on himself. There were four reasons, the Miyamoi says, that he didn't deserve to go to Eretz Yisrael. Four of them that are mentioned in Tanakh, that are mentioned in Chumash, I should say. Four of them. And each one is represented by one thing over here. Number one, he was told by Hashem to go to Paro and to speak to Paro. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't. I'm kaved lashon v'kaved peh. I've got a heavy mouth. I've got a heavy tongue. I can't speak clearly. I can't go to Paro. I can't do it. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, you're right. You're going to go on this shlichus, but you're not going to go on another shlichus. You'll take them out of Egypt, but you're not going to take them to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the idea. Moshe Rabbeinu said, shlach mal v'yat shlach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was masking. Fine, you're right. I'll send them to Eretz Yisrael in another way. To that he said, Hatsur tamim pa'alo. Everything God does, even blemishes in babies, my inability to speak, is still tamim. It has a perfection to it, and that's something that I didn't understand.
Not like the
measure that says that he did it. I think that still might be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands because a little baby doesn't really have the decision making. Even so, the Malach is the one that pushed his hands to the coal and put it in his mouth. So it's possible that that's the shot behind it. But that's that Sur Tamim Palo. The next. Second thing is at the end of Parsha Shmos, he looks up at Hashem and says, Lama Hariyosa, La'amazah, why did you do such evil to this nation? How could you have done such bad things to this nation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atol. Tira. Now you'll see what I'm really supposed to do. Now you're going to see my chesed. You won't see it in the future, but you're going to see it now. You're going to see my chesed, but you won't bring them to Eretz Yisrael. He said, Ki chol durachav mishpat. Everything he does, even when God does something that seems to be bad, is b'mishpat. There's something good behind it. That's number two. Number three, he doubted Hashem's power. When the people wanted the slug and they asked for meat, he said, is it possible? Is it possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're going to give them the meat that they want? How could you possibly give them meat in the middle of the desert? How could that be? How could you do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And Hashem said, you're doubting me? You're doubting my abilities? Atotira, the same words. Now you'll see my abilities, and I'll bring down the slug and the mun as well to be able to feed the people. Atotira, but you won't see it when you go to Eretz Yisrael. And to that he said the line, El emunav ein avel, God is trustworthy. You can put your trust in God. If he says he's going to do something, he'll do it even if it seems impossible. That's the third line. And the final one, we all know. Mariva, instead of speaking to the rock, hitting the rock instead, to death, obviously he was told that he wasn't going to go in, Yan Bo Hakti Sheni, you didn't make a Kiddush Hashem, and you didn't have that Amuna, Yan Bo Amantem Bi, he said, the final line of Tzadik V'Yosher Hu, God's final decision is also great. Even though I don't like it, even though it's something that I don't want to accept, and I knew that there was a chance there was a Tikkun the whole time, nonetheless, even if it seems terrible to me, Tzadik V'Yosher Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik, so to speak, and a yasher, he's doing it for the right reasons. All right, that's the idea. So what we're going to start with is... Wait, Ellie, what's up?
The idea of hitting the rock, is that just another story in and of itself? Because he built the rock, he hit the rock, which is...
He called it like a tikkun. Each time he had the ability, if he would have done this, it would have made him, made God forget, so to speak, about the other averus. Everything would have been okay. So to speak, going around, I hear what you're saying, hitting the rock instead of speaking to the rock. I don't know if that connects, but surely it does in some way, yeah. Because over there it's called a sela instead of a tzur, but obviously that's shaykhus over here. It's a good call. I did not think of that. What's up, Rob?
Isn't that true if Israel would have prayed for Moshe to enter into...
Then he would have entered also, yeah. Yeah.
He was probably aware of that.
I agreed, but it's too late now. Now it's Tzur Tamim Palo. There was a line. I forgot what the line was. In Parshas Vatzchanan or Akev, where he said to the people, but if you daven for me, and the people were totally dense. They're like, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. And like nobody was thinking. And like all of a sudden, they were just like emotions. Like, I told you. And they were just like, ah, you know. Thinking of something else, and they caused it. Yeah, of course it would be. So again, the way we did it was, the first thing we did is we explained the Pashup shot of the Pasuk using the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashi, the Rashbam, the Dasakin, Rosh and Chizkuni, etc. Then we understood another way of the Kli Yukar to try to explain in the Me'ah Shiluach and the Malbim, speaking about how it's not God's fault, but rather our fault. We spoke about the word Tzur, we translated it in four different ways, really five, but four different ways, as in the rock and strength. Sire is the painter. picture. It could refer to Tzror being tied up together, and then Tzura, the greatness, the Netziv, but I don't know how to translate the Netziv. I'm just not so sure what that means altogether. We went through a couple stories about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgments are perfect in comparison to ours. And finally, the Ni'am Lo'i that says this line was from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. There's a couple other things in here that I haven't said. Let's try if everybody has a